Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Heathman.
That'd be really weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. No baseball this weekend, but the next time you're walking into Duty Noble, if it's cold, bring in a hot beverage from Strange Brew Coffeehouse. And if it's hot, bring in a cold beverage from Strange Brew Coffeehouse and enjoy some great coffee while you watch the Diamond Dogs. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. It is cold this week, so a little pot of chili wouldn't hurt nobody. I promise you that. Whatever you're cooking out, are cooking this weekend, make beef the star of the show. A great ingredient, so versatile, works in just about everything. Doing steak, not tonight, but tomorrow night, we'll do some steak tacos at the Haydad household. So, you know, again, it's just easy, and beef makes it delicious. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Everything maroon and white, everything state script, everything interlocking, and everything M over S right there at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet Foe by the Half Shell. Or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Whether you're looking for a gift for yourself, for the one you love, or just for whoever, get it at College Corner. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to a banker that knows you by name, not just by your account number. You need a bank that provides a level of service you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority.
So I saw this just now on Twitter.
Is it about Vince McMahon?
No.
Okay.
What's happened to Vince McMahon?
Apparently, he smashed his Bentley into a car at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, did you see the video for that?
I'm going to watch it right this second.
He said he was trying to get to his granddaughter's birthday party.
Literally, everything's a work with this guy. It's unbelievable.
I did see somebody that they had a picture of him in court, and his hair is like he's got the skunk down the middle.
Yeah.
And somebody said he's done the reverse Polly Walnuts.
What do you hear?
Because on the,
what do you say?
On the side is black.
Yeah, yeah.
And then on the middle, it's the white.
The tweet I'm seeing about that says Vince McMahon in court looks like he's ready to steal 101 Dalmatians. All right. What did you see?
Oh man!
Can you imagine getting in a wreck and the guy gets out and is like, "Hey, pal, I just slow down." Would lose my mind.
No, but like the cop comes up and is like, "Sir, why are you going so fast?" He's like, "I'm trying to get to my granddaughter's birthday party."
Titus O'Neil is there.
Yeah, God. You know, I've been talking. I've been thinking in my mind for a long time. Like, if I ever get pulled over on the way to church,
yeah.
Like, how do I explain that? Because like I always said, like I would just say that I got to get to church, but then I'm like, I'm breaking the law to get to church.
Yeah.
That doesn't
the cops would be like, oh, sure you are, buddy. Yeah, no problem.
Can you step out? Let's do a field sobriety test, please.
So, what did you see on Twitter?
So, our friend Tanner Marler quoted this. Toyota has signed Kevin Harvick's 13-year-old son to a long-term deal. Don't you get a driver's license when you're 15?
Yeah.
This kid, he's been signed by Toyota to be a driver. And he's 13 years old. I'm sure he's going to be a great driver. His dad's a race car driver.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, is that not, like, alarmed anybody? I mean, like...
A little weird.
I went and looked at the comments. Like, none of the racing fans, like, batted an eye. They're mad because Ford and Chevy...
Which is what Tanner says. Yeah. It's like, how do you fumble that?
I'm not a ball knower when it comes to NASCAR. I've not watched NASCAR.
13 years old.
But it's still like it's just kind of
It's a
fun.
sport that evolved from running moonshine. Now we got 13-year-olds out here running and driving
Yeah,
around.
Richard Petty.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. Let's talk some baseball. Mississippi State remains number four in the D1 poll, which and UCLA remains number one. So that showdown is on number one versus number four on Sunday. And the let me see if I can say it correctly. It's not what I. It's not Amigee. It's Amagi. It's like
Amagi,
energy.
yes,
Yeah,
yes.
it's Amagi, the Amagi Bank Classic. So State with Arizona State on Friday, Virginia Tech on Saturday, and UCLA on Sunday. Of course, this game with Austin Peay coming up on Tuesday. Before we talk to Coach Mike, who the hell's Mike? Coach Brian O'Connor a little later in the show. Is Tuesday's game kind of the last dress rehearsal for Mississippi State? Don't you think when you get to Arlington, it's got to be like, this is the lineup. We're not making any changes unless we have an injury. This is who we're going with in these games. Or do you, I mean, you don't want to, you think they'd play left right matchup kind of stuff? I don't know.
Yeah, I think they still will have some matchups, but I think to your point, there probably will be, it'll be tightened up a little bit. You know, I don't know if we're gonna see, you know, Peter Michon in the lineup or
Right.
like
Or even
and I'm
Jordan
not
Parker.
yeah, I'm not like saying anything bad about those, but I do think that you're gonna be looking more at the guys that they're going to be relying on a you know, weekend basis. So there might be some, you know, a righty we're going to run with Reed Stallman. You know, there might be some matchups in there, but I feel like you're probably going to start to see Brian O'Connor tighten it up a little bit and start to get the guys in there that are going to be your regulars. You got to do that at some point. I mean, you can't really continue to tinker with the lineup whenever you're about to get into a stretch here that's going to be pretty tough. And you have and Austin Peay's not going to be just a, you know, little cakewalk. I mean,
Yeah.
they've lost to that team. But this weekend you're playing three Power Four teams. One of them's not ranked but undefeated in Arizona State. And then you got the number one team in the country. And, you know, what we'll say about Virginia Tech. I think they're okay. They're better than Hofstra and Delaware. And then next week you're playing a top 15 team on the road in Southern Miss. So it's about to get real, and State's going to have to be on its P's and Q's here. I mean, it's no longer, you know, test driving here. It's getting out there and actually getting in the race if we're going to stay with the NASCAR
Stay with that
theme.
theme or with the Vince McMahon theme. He was in a
That's
race as
true.
well.
That's true. Maybe Vince McMahon needs to be signed by
That's
Roy
the other
Oakland.
go the other way. Get
Yeah,
an
see that.
8-year-old guy.
So they missed out on Kevin Harvick's son, but they're going to get now Vince McMahon at
I'm gonna
Toyota.
put Joey Logano in the wall. All right. So Austin Peay,
He's going to be a Chevy man.
I quick look at Austin Peay. They're 4-3 on the season. They started the year off with a 4-game set against UNLV. They split that with the Running Rebels. And then took two out of three this past weekend from Eastern Michigan. They were the preseason favorite in the A-Sun, the conference, which they won a season ago. As of this moment, I haven't seen State has not announced the midweek starter. Have they not?
I have not seen it.
And it oh yes, they have. They just
They
now,
just did it.
just now. William Kirk will get the start for Mississippi State.
Which does that mean that Duke Stone's entering the rotation? Does it mean that he's just not ready to get
Well,
back in it?
I think after throwing four innings, they wouldn't want to start him on Tuesday,
Yeah,
one way or the other.
probably
But
so. I
I
mean,
do think that there is a very legit chance that Duke Stone is starting in the weekend. I think you, I, if I'm going to play the game of I got to get into O'Connor's head and Parker's head a little bit, I think your rotation's probably going to look like McPherson on Friday, Stone on Saturday, and they'll throw Valinkas on Sunday to match up with UCLA.
yeah.
I think that's the best case scenario for State. But William Kirk getting the start for the Bulldogs. So his first start of the season against Austin Peay. That game is today at 4 o'clock at Duty Noble Field. Let's go ahead and talk to Coach Brian O'Connor. I spoke to him. This interview happens right after the game Sunday. I spoke to him yesterday evening as we're recording. So at the time I asked him, did he know who was going to start on the midweek? He did not have an answer for me in that. You'll hear that in the interview along with some other stuff. As always, our interviews here on Thunder and Lightning are brought to you by our friends over at Alora Modern Wellness. Guys, first off, if you're still on that New Year's resolution to stay healthy, congratulations to you. You're doing great. And allow me to tell you that part of the reward of better health is the reward of recovery. You know, when you get a chance to go and work out and you really put your body through it, you got to be able to give yourself some chances to feel better as well. And that's what Alora Modern Wellness does. So many great. Have you already been over there yet?
I have not, but I might have to do it after this. After I take this trip, you know, riding.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Riding a lot of hours.
That's a long drive. Yeah, that's. I mean, even stuff like that, it's tough on the body.
It is.
And you're right. Taking a few minutes for yourself can make all the difference. That's the thing about recovery. You spend a lot of time working out. Recovery is a short period, but man, does it help you out so much. Alora Modern Wellness is here for you. Check out their website, aloramodernwellness.com. You can book all of their services right there online if you want to do that. Or you can just give them a call at 662-268-9255. They're happy to answer any of your questions. Let's go down to my interview with Coach Brian O'Connor. We go down to the Farm Bureau guest line. Check out favorites.com and go with the home team. Coach Brian O'Connor joins us as his team continues their winning ways, now 8-0 on the season. Coach, part of my job, as you know, is to be critical of you, be critical of your team. That's what they're going to ask me to do here on this Monday show. Help me out. Your team's 8-0. I think they're playing pretty good baseball. What are you seeing from your team that you would be critical of?
Well, I would tell you, Brian, that, you know, I think our base running needs to improve. You know, we've ran into some outs on the bases. That's partly of being aggressive. You know, I believe that being aggressive on the bases and putting the pressure on the other team. That said, there's a few instances that, you know, we're not playing smart baseball on the bases. And that's an area that needs to be cleaned up, because as the competition gets tighter and the games get tighter, you know, that shows up. So I'd tell you that would be an area that needs to get better from an offensive standpoint. I felt like, you know, 4 or 5 games ago, we needed to be more competitive with 2 strikes. Just felt like we were striking out too much. And then, you know, over these last 4 or 5 games, I thought that has really improved. But that's always going to be an emphasis. And, you know, I felt like we were getting a lot of hits and doubles and things like that. And it was great to see on Saturday against Delaware, us hit the ball at the ballpark 4 times, you know, and the Sunday game, the wind was blowing like crazy, unfortunately not straight out. And certainly it was tougher going to be for anybody to hit a ball at the ballpark. But I, you know, those are the things that I'd share right now. You know, but overall, I think we're doing a really good job but certainly have things we can continue to improve on.
So you look at this week, 5 games, double-digit runs in 3 of those games. The other 2, you score 9 and 7 on a day, as you mentioned, where the wind was just wreaking havoc. Offensively, is it just guys starting to warm up and get acclimated, or are you seeing something and making adjustments from what you had week 1?
I think a little bit of both. You know, Ace Reese has been hot all year in all the 8 ball games, but there's other guys that have, you know, certainly stepped forward and emerged. And, you know, we've been fortunate enough that we've got a lot of guys in the mix, a lot of different players from playing time. And to take a look at what we have, one of the real bright spots has been, you know, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, Andrew Raymond, a left-handed hitting sophomore transfer, really showed that he can catch and throw at this level and was very, very aggressive with the bat. I really liked what he did offensively during those games, especially in the 2 games against Delaware that he was the starting catcher. So, you know, that was a bright spot to see. It was great to see Jacob Parker get his first home run in a dog uniform on Saturday and had a couple of hits. That was great to see. So we're really building up some depth and some options, Brian, that, you know, if we start with 1 lineup and they go to somebody out of the bullpen, we have pinch hitter opportunities and some different ways that we can play it. And, you know, another guy, outfielder Vitas Valinkas, really sparked us on the Tuesday win over Troy and continued to do some good things throughout the weekend. So, you know, just really proud of our guys, and they're staying hungry and ready for when their opportunity comes.
You kind of hit on something I wanted to ask you about there with Valinkas. You know, didn't play the first weekend for you. Drew Weyers didn't play the first weekend for you. They had great weeks for you this week. How difficult is making out that lineup card each and every day? Because it feels like you've got so many options. Somebody's going to be mad at you when it's all said and done.
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, I talked to the team before the season and said, "Listen, we have a lot of good players that believe that they should play, and they have to show their patience and but also work to be ready for when their opportunity comes." And you mentioned two players, Drew Weyers and Vito Valinkas, that just they didn't play that opening weekend, but they stayed ready, and when they got the call, they've done the job for this team, and that's the way that it's going to have to be. And as we pile up the games, we'll have a better understanding of, okay, for the most part, who are the everyday players and who profiles best, who are the best matchups depending on who the starting pitcher is that we face.
So you had a Sunday game where Charlie Foster, second week in a row, doesn't have the best start. He had a rough first inning against Hofstra. This week it was the second inning. How do you talk to a player who you know is talented? You want to see him succeed. You want to keep him in this rotation because you know he can help your team, but he's struggling at this moment. What's the message to Charlie Foster?
Well, the message to Charlie Foster is that we believe in you. You've earned the opportunities because of how you've pitched, and I'm just a big believer in that they earn those, and but you have to continue to earn it as well. And so he's a talented young man. I mean, in the game on Sunday against Delaware, he blew through him in the first inning. Looked like a big leaguer, and a couple of things didn't go his way, and those are learns and lessons as a young pitcher that really doesn't have much experience. I think he threw 11 innings last year at State, that he's got to grow and learn from those opportunities, because if you don't, there's it's going to be tough to get better and tough to stay in there. And so they're growth opportunities, and you either learn from them and push forward, or you get passed by. And we've got a lot of confidence in the young man. He's talented and just needs to continue to learn how to get it done when the challenging moments in the game happen.
I'm going to let you talk some big picture baseball here with this question. Ace Reese bats second for you, and this is kind of a new thing in baseball where the best hitter, we'll say, is batting second in lineups. You know that when you started coaching, Reese would have probably been your three or four hitter in all likelihood. What is the science, the methodology behind having a guy like Reese bat second?
Well, he has an opportunity to impact the game more often. It's not just about the first inning. It statistically it would tell you that spot over a season gets up more often, and it depends on the makeup of your team. I've batted him third a few times as well, as we get more guys going, that still might be an option to bat him third. But you just like, all of a sudden, if they get that first out, you like somebody like him come up and he's got a chance to hit a double or hit a ball out of the ballpark. And you want to make sure those top three hitters, especially that third hitter, gets up in the first inning. So it's really evolved over the years, and the data would tell you that, not that you do everything by that, but it'd tell you that you should have your guy in that spot in the lineup.
Big midweek game. Austin Peay is a really good program. Mississippi State fans will remember their last trip to Duty Noble Field. They took one, not one, but two games from the Bulldogs a couple years ago from a team that ended up in a regional in Charlottesville. Have you decided who's going to be on the mound for you to start the game?
I have not. We wanted to get through this weekend and see who we needed to use, and then make the determination on the Tuesday starter. Duke Stone was an option, but we needed to use him today to win today's ball game. So, Coach Parker and I will discuss that tonight or tomorrow morning and get that figured out.
And then looking ahead, I know as a coach, it's a one game at a time approach for you, but we have to look a little bit ahead to this tournament you're going to be in this weekend. The level of competition going to jump up, potential showdown with the number one team in the nation on Sunday, the UCLA Bruins. As a coach, not to take anything away from Hofstra, from Delaware, Troy, and Alcorn, but are you excited about what looks to be a potential jump in competition for your team?
Oh, for sure. That's what you want. That's what it's going to be like in league play in the SEC. So, the playing great competition brings the best out of you, and that's why you play in a tournament like that we're playing in Arlington is for that opportunity to play some really good ball clubs. So we're excited about that. Certainly, we've got a big one with Austin Peay in front of us, but after we're done with that one, we'll turn our attention to Arizona State on Friday, and then Virginia Tech and UCLA, and it should be a great tournament.
Should be a lot of fun to watch this weekend. You'll have to be on Flow Sports, Bulldog fans. Get that subscription. If you've still got your password from a couple years ago, it might still work. We'll check it out. Coach Brian O'Connor, Mississippi State Baseball. Thanks so much. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Brian.
Back in just a minute on Sports Talk Mississippi, we'll keep talking about the Diamond Dogs and all the great baseball around the Magnolia State when we come back. I think he's excited about this weekend. And that's the last question I asked him is, are you excited about the jumping competition? He's basically like, how could you not be? This weekend is as close to SEC play as you're going to get. And then not even this weekend. I'll take it a step further. These next five games, Austin Peay is good enough to beat some SEC teams, I think. Arizona State's undefeated. UCLA is the number one team in the nation. And then Southern Mississippi, who's had a better start to the season than the Golden Eagles? Maybe
They've been
UCLA.
tested too. It's not like they're beating some.
Exactly. They have beaten good teams. So very interesting next 5 days for Mississippi State. By the way, just to answer a question I had, I posed this to you, and I went over and talked to the guys at Media Relations. Our friend Daniel Black answered this one for us. I asked if Saturday's game was the largest ever non-conference regular season crowd. It was not. The game against Arizona State, the Saturday game a couple years back, 14,000 people at that game. So
Well,
this
they
is up there.
lost that
It was a
series.
top 30 crowd. A top 30 crowd for a Saturday game against Delaware in the second week of the season. It really does show you how much excitement this team has around it right
Well,
now.
think about that series. That team was coming off. I think that was the second year they had the bad year.
It was 24.
2024.
Yeah.
So that, no, it was 23.
So that's
Arizona
the.
State was 23.
Then that's the they were they
That
ended
was
up
the year
being
they were
bad.
bad.
They
Yeah.
were bad again, yeah.
Because I remember Cade Smith was really bad in that series. But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's coming off a season where they had nine SEC wins and a losing record, and they still had that crowd. And they did the same thing for that Ole Miss series and Super Bulldog weekend,
That's
largest crowd
largest
ever.
crowd ever. And both of those teams were terrible.
I mean, what's going to happen this year when LSU comes to town? My gosh.
I don't know how many people you can put in the stadium, but if
It's
those
going to
two
be every person you can possibly
If those
fit.
two teams can deliver to the point where they play each other and still be top five teams, yes, that you're going to crack 17,000. And I would not want to be the last 1,000 in the stadium because you won't have a good time, I don't think. But you'll be there.
Yeah.
You can be there and enjoy it. So, all right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats, the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. You don't have to just wait to get to a Duty Noble Field to enjoy the delicious smoked wings of Two Brothers. You can have them any old day of the week right there in the Cotton District. Or, of course, you could have a more sophisticated experience and enjoy a fancy sandwich over at the Older Brother. We introduced a few people to the Older Brother a couple weeks ago, and they will be coming back, and you will too if you take one meal there. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years.
Fit it.
Right to the point there. I like that.
Brother.
If you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. If you need service, same people, same phone number, same everything, and you've already got that relationship with them, you don't have to waste your time. And you don't want to waste time. If something's broken, you got to get it fixed. Advantage Business Systems, because they're in Mississippi just like you, a lot of times they can fix it the exact same day. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go to grab all of the Mississippi State gear you're looking for here in Starkville, like this awesome LA7 State Script pullover that I'm wearing, quarter zip that I'm wearing. If you want to get something like that, Maroon & Co. is the only place to get it. I say it all the time. Nobody has the selection that Maroon & Co. has. Everybody else, it's basically the same stuff on the shelf. Maroon & Co., stuff you can't get anywhere else. And you can't get our promo code anywhere else. You can save 15% on your next purchase with the promo code THUNDER15. You can use that in the store or online, on the line at marooncode.com. Maroon & Co. is the place to go. Next time you're in Starkville, make sure you're headed to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. Guys, it's a beautiful day outside. Cold. It's cold this week, but you can sense the spring. It's coming. You need to be ready, and be ready with John Deere Green to keep your lawn looking its absolute best. John Deere mowers, compact tractors, Gators, they've got them all at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. Great financing available, as low as 0% up to 60 months in some cases. Talk to their credit department. They're going to get you a great deal. You don't have to worry about that. Whatever it is you're looking for, they have got it at Scruggs. They have what you want for less at Scruggs in Saltillo. Good Hope Land and Timber. Fellas, if you are a landowner in this state, Good Hope Land and Timber is here to help you make smart, sustainable, and profitable decisions regarding the management of your land. But if you're looking to buy or sell land right now, Good Hope Land and Timber can certainly help you with that. If that purchase needs to be a couple hundred acres or a couple thousand acres, it doesn't matter how big or small, Good Hope Land and Timber is here for you. They're experts in their field. They can be experts in your field. Give them a call today and find out why they are locally trusted and landowner approved. If you're looking to buy, sell, or just work with your own land, call Good Hope Land and Timber. Week 3 of the spring football breakdowns, and we are looking at wide receivers, Robbie Faulk. And again, kind of like what we had last week when we talked about the running backs, we've got the proven commodity. We've got the star in there, and then it's going to be about what do you have around him. We start with Anthony Evans, though. The guy who kind of made Mississippi State wait the longest as far as the returnees. Like everybody else was, you know, I'm back, I'm back, I'm back. And then Anthony Evans, close to the last day you could jump into the portal, made his announcement known. And so you're bringing back a guy who, gosh, last year had great numbers for Mississippi State. 67 catches, 831 yards, 4 touchdowns. Of course, had the huge touchdown in the Arkansas game that was such a big win for Mississippi State at the time. You know what you've got there. I feel like I don't know if you know what you got's the right word, but with Marquise Johnson coming in from Missouri, this is a proven guy, played a good bit of college football, you know, in his career. Let me do the math right here. 66 catches, just over 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. He has the physical tools. I don't know if he's as fast. I don't know that anybody's as fast as Brennan Thompson. But he provides that deep threat speed that State was able to take advantage of so much. Other side of the field, that's where you're probably going to have a battle between San Francisco McGee and Aiden Williams. We talked a little bit about San Francisco a few weeks ago and said that maybe he's a guy who could take that performance he had in the Mayo Bowl, launch into the season. Bigger physical receiver, different skill set than Evans and Johnson. Aiden Williams, it really is. I mean, he's a senior. This is it. We're out of chances for Aiden Williams. Couple of other guys in there. Couple of, you know, freshmen returning. Couple of other transfers to talk about. But McGee, Johnson, Evans, I think that's your first go-round at wide receiver.
Kind of feels that way. It felt like the bowl game was kind of the coming-out party for San Francisco McGee. We know that he has a really good relationship with Camario. And, you know, obviously those two Mississippi guys, they seem to have bonded, all that stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. It's always good to have that relationship. Marquise Johnson, I think, has already gotten really close with Camario. They spend a lot of time together. They're probably going to have a lot of big plays, too, this year. I don't know. You know, it's hard to say you lose a 1,000-yard receiver and you're just going to be – completely fine, mm-hmm. You know, because while Marquise Johnson has proven it even more than what Brennan Thompson did, mm-hmm. prior to coming to Mississippi State, you still got to get here and do it. I think at this point we can pencil in a guy doing something similar, 800 to 1,000 yards.
I mean, we could have said the same thing a year ago. You lose Kevin Coleman, you're like, oh, what are they going to do? They went out and had two outstanding receivers last year.
Well, and we kind of did we were a little skeptical. Yeah, well, at least to the point where we were like, look, these guys have a lot of talent.
Right.
You could see them breaking out.
We talked about potential versus production a lot. Now you've got some
you
production.
You actually have a lot more production next year, this year, than you did last year. Because Anthony Evans had, what did you say, 70 catches, 60-something catches?
67, yeah.
and a lot of yards. So that's huge to bring him back. He was right neck and neck with Brendan Thompson in catches.
Like, he had a rough last two games. He was on pace to be a 1,000-yard receiver
Yeah.
going into the Missouri game.
And then, you know, Marquise Johnson has played 3 years in the SEC. He's a guy that's 1,000 yards for his career, pretty much. And then you got enough playing time from Aiden Williams and Sam Frisco-McGee. You feel like those guys should be ready. So I like this wide receiver group a lot more than I did going into last year
Yeah, I think I agree with you.
from a
Yeah.
production
Well,
standpoint.
you didn't have anybody like Evans coming back last year.
No,
You
no.
know,
I mean, you had nobody coming
you had
back.
Mosley. That's what you had
Mobley,
coming
and
back.
like, I mean, we kind of said, okay, well, we could see him coming out. Well, I mean, you and I were okay with him, but most of
Yeah.
the fan base was not.
Right.
And it turned out they were correct. I mean, he didn't really do anything. But I think there's enough pieces there that they should be able to have a ton of production. Again, to me, it all boils down to the offensive line. Are they going to give Kamario Taylor enough time to hit the big shots down the field? Because I don't think that we've talked about that enough, in that this offense is predicated on being able to take the shots down the field.
Right.
It's not like they come out there and they just throw shots down the field, you know, 10 straight plays, but that's a big part of the offense, is those 40, 50-yard shots down the field. And if you don't have time back there in the pocket, if you're not able to establish some of the run to keep a defense honest, it's going to be really difficult to get those shots down the field. And Blake Chapin did not have a lot of time to do
And
that.
yet, and by the same token, though, he took a ton of shots down the field.
He did.
So, again, it's just about being, you know, I feel like everything we talk about with the offense is going to tie into the offensive line. They just have to be a little bit better. If they were an F last year, being a C minus this year would take this offense to another level.
Yeah.
That really would be the case. What do we think about some of the backups? We mentioned Aiden Williams there, but I think the next two guys, the transfer from Oklahoma, Zion Ragans. Again, we've got a guy here from Oklahoma that Levy would have seen on tape, had some role in the recruiting process with him. He's another speedster, and that's something State didn't have last year. When Thompson was off the field, they didn't have another guy with that kind of speed.
Yeah.
Between Johnson and Ragans, now they do. And then Grayson Harris is a guy that we heard he's another one of those practice guys. You're like, hey, you know, he looks good in practice. You know, he'll have a role to play when his time comes. I think that's your number two slot guy for Mississippi State. Evans and Johnson are definitely the production guys. The rest are just the potential. But I do feel like this offense has proven itself at this point in terms of producing receivers. One guy for sure will be a 70 to 80 catch guy. There'll probably be another guy that's a 40 or 50 catch guy. If you can find another guy in there to be a 30 catch guy, 30 to 35, then maybe the tight end, but.
And that's kind of unusual for you know, Jeff Lebby coach team to have like three guys with that
Yeah.
much production.
Yeah. Last year was an outlier
It
to have
was.
Thompson and Evans have as much production as they did.
Yeah, you look at the history of
It's just one
what
guy.
he's done. I mean, you had obviously Elijah Moore kind of kicked that off,
Yeah.
at least what we know of. But I mean, you look at Oklahoma was kind of similar. There was a guy that was far and away your top pass catcher. And then you had some guys that can make some big plays for you and things like that. But this past year, you really saw some balance there. I mean, obviously you had Brendan Thompson getting the biggest of plays. He was the guy that they took shots with. He had 18 and 19 yards of reception, which was a lot more than what Anthony Evans did. But I mean, Anthony Evans had more catches than Brendan Thompson did. They really spread the wealth. It doesn't look like they're going to have a Sadu Traore type that is, you know, that guy you can really. I mean, I don't even know if I would call him like super reliable, but I mean, he was solid at the tight end position as a receiver. Can you count on Sam West to do that? Is it going to be a situation where one of these young guys has to step into the mix? I don't know. So that might be a position where Aiden Williams or San Francisco McGee takes a major step and gives you, can they give you what Sadu Traore did, which was 35 catches for 367 yards and 5 touchdowns?
Yeah.
If you can get that from Aiden Williams or San Francisco McGee,
You're great.
you're right back on
You
track.
should be just fine. So,
Yep.
all right. I think next week, normally we'd go tight end, but we talked about the offensive line every time we've done this. Let's just go to the offensive line. Let's
Get it
talk
out of
about
the
that
way.
group because that's a long discussion to have for us next week. All right. Tomorrow's show is the Rumblings. You know what to do. Send in your questions. We'll be happy to answer them. And we'll take it from there. Guys, have a great weekend. Have a great Tuesday. Back with you on Wednesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.